You turn to Luke 2. I'm just gonna read something real quick in chapter 4 of John where we are. And chapter 4 is 54 verses long.
We may be in chapter 4 for a year. I don't know. No, I'm just... I don't know.
John chapter 4. Jesus answered and said unto her, you stay there in Luke, if thou knewest, there are some things that God requires you to know. Not only to know, I think that word goes deeper. There's some things that you've got to understand as well. It's not just something where I give you information. You've got to understand how that information applies to you. And I have to understand how this information applies to me. And I think the most important subject in Scripture where we need to know and understand is salvation.
Yes, sir.
You can believe that God created the heavens and the earth and die in your sin and go to hell.
You can believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and die and go to hell. Say, nah. Yeah.
Luke chapter 2. There are some things you must know. I can't help but park at this spot. I mentioned it last week, but the Holy Spirit just kind of put me into park right here. Luke chapter 2. Let's read a couple verses. Verse 11. This is the story of the birth of Christ. And I want to concentrate. I want to try as I go through John 4 this time in my life and with you differently than I've gone through it every year for the entire 10 years that I was in Saskatchewan with my inmates. Because there's a difference. And here in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says this, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," what?
A Savior. A Savior.
"Which is Christ the Lord." There's nothing after that. There's nothing before it. After Savior is a comma, and then a statement. A very specific statement about a very specific person.
Yes.
Okay?
And that statement is Savior, Christ the Lord. And there's something you need to know. You need to know who Jesus is. We need to know who Jesus is. Look at Luke 19. But I want you to concentrate just for now on that word, Savior. Luke 19, verse 10. See, this verse right here is one of the verses in Scripture that for some reason the apostles just kept missing in their aspirations of serving God. Their primary aspiration, I believe, until after the resurrection, was the kingdom then. The kingdom is coming. Okay? And here in 19:10, look at this. Now let's go back. This is the story of Zacchaeus. Oh man, I can't wait to get to this one too. That's down the road a ways, though. But we'll get there. Jesus said unto him, this day is what? Salvation. Come to this house. Why?
Because the Savior walked through the door.
This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Look at 1 Timothy. Shoot up to 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying. And notice what's said next. We blow through that, but notice what's said next. And worthy of what? All acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to kick the Romans out. No. To save sinners. And Paul says this to Timothy, of whom I am chief. Look back at Acts chapter 13. Look at Acts 13. Yeah, 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now go back to John chapter 4. I'm going to explain something to you here. It's in the verse that we're in. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest. There are some things that we need to know. And I mentioned last week, and I don't want to go back over for time's sake, all of the things that I mentioned then. I'll just briefly hit them. You've got to know that you're a sinner. Mm-hmm. You've got to know that you were born in that sin, that you didn't start with a clean slate. That child that Hannah has right there with her right now wasn't born with a clean slate. That child was born in sin. Mm-hmm. And if you carefully look at some of the men who we touted in the 1800s, a couple of them, Spurgeon wasn't one of them, by the way, they believed that. They believed that. No. We are born in sin, and when the time comes, we'll do it.
Yes,
sir. End of story. Mm-hmm. We are a sinner at birth. We don't start with a clean slate. In Adam, you die in your sins. And there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. There is no way in and of yourself that you can reconcile
with a holy, holy, holy God. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 thought he could do that
through what he conceived was a holy life. We're not talking about Nicodemus right now. We're talking about a woman that wouldn't even argue with you about her life. There's nothing holy here. here in John chapter 4, he says, Jesus answered and said unto her, you know what's wonderful about this is he offers her a gift here after she just insulted him.
If I had a gift for you and you insulted me, I think I would take it home and re-gift it.
I mean, but that's me. That's the natural man talking. But not our Savior. See, you want a lesson in soul winning? Ugh. You want a lesson in reconciling? Here it is. Here it is. He says to her, there's some things you've got to know. And one of the first things he mentions here is this. You must know what the gift of God is, friend. If you're here today, you must know what the gift of God is. What is the gift of God? There are some old commentators that mention that the water in this verse is talking about the Holy Spirit. It is not. It is not. The gift of God is plain and simple. It is salvation. Thank you for the amen, baby. It is salvation. You say, but isn't it the baby that was born in the manger? I don't believe we can separate salvation from Jesus, but for right now, we're just going to say it is salvation because there is only one Savior, and we'll connect the two. We'll connect the two. The gift of God is salvation. You see, the problem with today, particularly today, is not getting people saved. It is getting them to realize they are treading water in an ocean of sin, and you can only tread water for so long. You can only tread water for so long. I mean, man, I was good at treading water when I was a kid. I was a fish. I was born on the Susquehanna River. My dad always, we always had a pool in our backyard in the summertime. It's a wonder I didn't start to grow webs between my fingers and toes. I was a fish. I loved to swim. I loved to ski. I didn't care where it was. It was in the ocean, in the river, in the Chesapeake Bay, in the pool in my backyard. It didn't matter. I loved to swim. And I was a good swimmer. And I would stay in the water just as... until literally... You'd look at my hands and my... You know how your fingers wrinkle up after a while when you've been in the water too long? I'd look like a prune. My mother would be like, get out of that pool! You guys have been in there all day long. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't swim in the sea of life forever. And the sea of life is the sea of sin because we're born in it. And sooner or later, the body gets tired. And you're not swimming anymore. You're not swimming anymore. You're drowning. As good as I was and as aquatic as I was, up at Deep Creek Lake, a good friend of mine almost drowned me one day. Because I was out. And that cold water takes it away from you a little quicker than warmer water in that lake. And I got tired and I reached for the raft. And she pushed me away from the raft. So I paddled back over again and reached for the raft, and she pushed me away from the raft again. And then I started screaming at her. I'm tired. And she started to push me away the third time, and I managed to latch onto the raft, and I pulled myself up and I screamed in her face. And she stopped. She didn't realize that third time, had I missed that raft, they might have been dragging the bottom of Deep Creek Lake for me.
because I was tired. I'd had enough. I couldn't keep myself up anymore. And there will come a time in this life, if you're here without Jesus Christ, let's put it this way, there will be a time in life where all of us literally go under the water, so to speak. But I'm not going to drown in the sea of sin. There's a difference. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm not going to drown. Because the New Testament says that when I pass out of this life, it is described as sleep. And there's a reason for that. The reason for that is because in April, on April the 4th, 1999, nine pews back at Maranatha, I was tired. Tired to the point where I didn't want to hold on to the raft anymore. I was drowning in the sea of sin. And I realized it. And I realized I couldn't stay afloat anymore spiritually. And I cried out to God to save me. The problem is not getting people saved. It's getting you folks that are here that have never been saved to realize this. You're lost. You're lost, and someday you're going to drown in that sea. Unless someone saves you. Unless someone saves you. The gift of God. Look at that verse. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Not only is he saying, if you knew what the gift was, he's saying, if you only knew what predicament you are in. If you only knew what predicament you are in. Because this gift of God is salvation. I need to be saved from something. From something. The gift of God is salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. It is total and complete forgiveness of all my sins, past, present, and future. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. If you're here today and you are meeting with Jesus today at the well, you need to know that you're treading water on the sea of sin, and you can't do that forever. Your sin is going to drown you. Not only is it going to drown you in this life, you will then be put into the lake. Notice that the Bible calls it the lake of fire. There's another sea coming. It's not the sea of sin of this world. It's the lake. It's a different lake. It's not Deep Creek Lake. The water there is not cold. It's a different lake altogether. It's called the lake of fire. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. I can imagine swimming in cold water. I can't imagine swimming in flames, trying to keep my head above, looking for relief. The lake of fire is not the hell of the rich man and Lazarus. It's very different. It's not the same place. It's not the same place. And what we need to realize today is that there is a world out here
and some in here that are going to be swimming in that lake in a very short period of time. Because after all, our life is what? A vapor. That steam comes out of that teapot whistle. It's there, and it's gone. Young people, you ain't going to live forever. You ain't going to live forever.
Senior saints, you're not going to live forever either. None of us are. None of us are. The question is, are you saved or still treading water? Going, and this is what you're saying, I got this. See, for a while up at Deep Creek that day, I was good because I would float a little bit and then tread water a little bit and float a little bit and tread water a little bit. But I needed that raft.
Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God is salvation. It's a free gift. And if it's not free, it's not a gift. It's a gift. What is a gift? A gift is something you give to someone. It may be on a birthday. It may be at other times. Birthdays, they're kind of expected. But what happens, and I've had this happen to me, and I've done it in my life. I've simply had something that I just wasn't using, and I said to somebody else, hey, I want you to have this. I'm not using it. It's a gift. No strings attached. It's a gift. That's a true gift. And I don't think we can really understand the gift of God here. Because normally, you don't even offer a gift to somebody that says, I got this. Or who, because the Bible says while we're treading water in this sea of sin, we are at enmity with God. An enemy. Why would I ever want to give an enemy a gift? Unmerited favor. Why would I do that? It was unheard of in this day. Particularly between Jews and Samaritans. Which is why Jesus didn't say to her, ye must be born again. He brings up to her a gift. Give me a drink of water. And she says, to you? That's exactly what she says there. A Jew? No way. And Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God, not a gift from just anybody, but a gift from God. Listen, we give each other gifts. You give gifts. We just had a birthday party for my grandson the other day. He got a bunch of gifts that'll probably be in a trash bin somewhere in the next couple of years. You know, shoes wear out. Toys wear out. All that junk out in the parking lot wears out. Everything on this earth is temporary. But the gift of God is eternal life
through Jesus Christ our Lord. Big difference here. Big difference.
Yet we will do what she does in the next 2 to 3 verses. We cannot seem to get our minds off of what? This rotten rock that we're on right now. And I say rotten, it didn't used to be. Before sin in the garden, it was perfect. But we can thank the sin for making it as rotten as it is. But Jesus doesn't stop with the gift. This wonderful gift of salvation. What's he say next? If you knew the gift of God, and who? There's some things you need to know. You need to know what the gift of God is, and that is salvation. And you need to know who provides it. Amen. And it ain't that flag. It's not that flag. It's not any denomination. It's provided by one thing. You have to know that Jesus is your Savior. It's easy to figure that one out. Turn back one page. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The concentration that I want you to see there is that whosoever believeth in him, the Savior, Jesus Christ, you must know that Jesus is the very Son of God. I'm here to tell you right now, he wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet, as some of the world believed. He wasn't just a person that came doing good. He is the very Son of God. God incarnate in the flesh. And you must know and understand that. It is through him that we won't perish, but have everlasting life. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. What do you need to know? You need to know that you need to be saved. If you're here and you're lost, you know who you are. I don't have to tell you. The Holy Spirit's doing it right now. I don't have to point anybody out. I don't have to get down to the end of the services and say, if you're saved, raise your hand. If you're lost, raise your hand. I don't need to do that. God's already doing it. And I want God to do it, not me. Because I want what happened 2 Sunday nights ago to occur. That's what I want. I want God to work. I don't want anybody to ever get saved here because of me. I want you to get saved because of him. Because of him. What he did. I didn't bleed on a cross for you. But I know who did. I know who did. And I know him personally. Because he saved me. He saved me. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And where is that name mentioned? It's mentioned back in verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. What verse? Come on, it's in the Romans Road. You know which verse I'm going to. It's marked in your Bible right now. You got it underlined, I guarantee you. And you might even have a number out beside it. My old Bible had that number. My new one doesn't. You know why? Because I don't use those numbers anymore. No. I actually use the chapter we're in right now. John chapter 4. That's what I use. It's a good verse though now. I ain't tossing the baby out with the bathwater. Just because I toss out a methodology doesn't mean I'm tossing out Scripture. Right. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is when you finally go down in that sea of sin, it's death. And it's not temporary. Just as there is eternal life, there is eternal death. For the wages of sin is death. What did Jesus say to her? The gift of God? If thou knewest the gift of God, here it is. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Salvation. Salvation. And it's only one way. By putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. By believing and repenting of the sin that's drowning you. I don't want to swim anymore. That's repentance. I don't want to swim in this anymore. I'm not working because I can't get out of it. It's not a work to repent. But I got to do something. And that's come to the realization, number one, I don't want to be here anymore. I remember that night that I got saved. I just was like, I'm tired. I'm tired of this hypocritical trying to juggle the world and God, wanting both, but realizing that I can't. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is, who it is. Just to get a little bit of context, I just hate reading one verse. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You know, I read that context there, and I'm going to do what Jesus did for just a second here with her in a few minutes, even though we're not going to get to her today in these verses. But I'm gonna do what he did at this point in this message to drive home a point that we're gonna actually get to, but I just feel like I have to do that. I don't know why God told me to go. Well, I do know why God told me to go back and get the context, because there in verse 11, notice, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to what? Love one another. I'm gonna tell you right now. I know someone in another location that none of you will ever know where it is or who it is. Claims to have been a Christian for many years. who after a church service one night, I sat down kind of like this on the edge of the pew. He was sitting right where Tracy was, and I was sitting here. And I said, how are you doing, brother? And he looked at me, and he said, he just shook his head like that, and he said, I hate these people. Where's he treading water? You say, you can't know. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can. From what came out of his mouth. Peter did it with Simon the sorcerer. The second he spoke, Peter said, whoa, you're not saved. You're treading water in the sea of sin. If you hate somebody else in this building and you claim to be saved, you need to know that.
Yes, sir.
That was a parenthesis in the middle of this message. That's not in my notes at all, but I'll never forget that. I didn't know what to say. As I sat there, I didn't know what to say. I went, oh, brother, you need to search your heart. You can't be where you are. And I ask you that today. Search your heart. Because you can't walk in darkness and be of the light. You can't do it. You can't serve the world and serve God. You can't do it. You can't straddle the fence, brothers and sisters. And for some of you, you're not a brother or sister yet. Because you're trying to do that. That was my life. That was my life up until 37. Trying to straddle that fence. Treading water in a sea of sin. Look at 1 John chapter 2. You need to know who Jesus is. He is our Savior. And I'll go just one step further. Not only is He our Savior, 1 John chapter 2 verse 2 says this, and He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation. The atoning or atonement or the atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage His anger and wrath. Jesus was more than a prophet, and He was a prophet. He's more than a king, and He is a king. He is our propitiation. That's an old English word. Let me just read what atonement says. Satisfaction made by giving an equivalent for an injury. You're in my sin has injured our standing with the holy God. And before His wrath and anger can be assuaged or put away, as far as the east is from the west, there must be an equivalent given for the injury. And our Savior did that.
He did that. He became, and I'll use one other word, our substitute. Now,
if someone substitutes for another person, I can understand that. It's happened. It's even happened in history. People have stood in for others. If you go back to the martyrs, you will see that people would step forward and say, not them, me. Will you take me? People have done that. But there's only one man that's ever taken the sin of the entire world on him to satisfy a holy, holy, holy God.
Go back to John chapter 4.
I'm not giving a Jew a drink of water.
Verse 9. Verse 10. If you knew what I could give you and who you're talking to you, who's talking to you, you would ask me and I'd give you living water. See, the conversation starts out with a drink of water. A drink of water. And Jesus keeps it there, but he shifts the gears dramatically. Because what you have to differentiate between is your physical needs and your spiritual.
Everybody here's physical needs are being met. I'm not looking at sunken in faces, bones hanging out like in Africa, am I? Your physical needs are being met. Everybody in here's physical needs are being met. No one in here's poor. No one's poor. We're not. We are truly rich, increased with goods in America compared to most of the rest of the world. Your need and mine is spiritual. And even the poor people in other countries of the world, their need is spiritual as well. The most pressing need of the world today is not what the preachers on YouTube and in the mega churches are saying, health, wealth, and prosperity. That is not the need. The need is people are drowning in a sea of sin. Then they will be transferred to the lake of fire someday. That is much more pressing than a $25,000 check on Monday morning, which will be gone in an instant.
Yes, sir.
Amen. No, I need to know some things. I need to know what the gift of God is. It is salvation. Mm-hmm. And it's not. Food and that kind of stuff. It's spiritual because we are dead in trespasses and sins. You need to know what the gift of God is. It is salvation. And if you're here today and you're lost, and I'm out of time, I don't want you to wait till the next week's message. So what do? Because I got no time to go to the water today. Well, we've already talked about water, haven't we? And you should, from what we've already talked about today and what you've seen in Scripture, realize that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You need a Savior if you're here and you're lost. But you need to realize you're drowning. And you can't say, I got this. In the book of Romans, the Bible tells us about something that God does with us. He calls and he draws. In John chapter 6, verse 45, it says, no man cometh unto God except the Spirit draw him. Okay? God sees us all treading water in the sea of sin. He sees us all. And he calls out to all. All. Come on. Get out. Get out.
And what I want is I'd like to see some folks say, I don't have this. I'm getting tired. I'm not going to be able to stay on the surface much longer. I remember feeling that night, overwhelming in the pew, just as the invitation hymn was given. This overwhelming spiritual exhaustion. I'm out of juice. I'm throwing in the towel. And I did something. Lord, save me. Save me.
See, I could start treading water and going the other way if I want.
There's some things you need to know. And there comes a point where you need to what? What's the verse say? If you knew what I could give you, and you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me. You'd ask me. If you really knew. And you know what I want? I want people, and this is what we all should do when we soul win. We should want them to know what they need to ask for. You would ask me. They need to ask. Not be pressed into a prayer. And we'll see what he does with that. Stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.
Do me a favor. Forget. Look at your life and ask yourself this question. Am I still treading water in the sea of sin? Or was there a point in time in my life, a point in time that I can remember when God said, come. And I said, save me. It's no specific prayer. It's a cry from the heart. It's between you and God. It's not between you and me, or you and this altar, or you and this church. It is just you and God. If you're there right now, the only people in this room are you and God Almighty. And my plea to you is don't tell him no. Don't tell him no. Because you're not going to tread water in the sea of this earth for very long.